Roll call. And I believe we have Dan. Beth is here. Pat is here. Buzz is here. And Lisa is here.
Yes.
The commissioners. Okay. And our budget committee is Grace and Mike.
Here.
And Stan.
Here.
And Joni.
Here.
And Kenny.
Yes.
Okay, great. And then I'm going to turn this over to our budget officer, Commissioner Anderson.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here.
And I'd like to thank Dale and Jim for attending as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. Everybody.
Yes.
It's so nice to see so many people all at once. Let's see, I need to swear in our budget committee members. So when I get to the place where you're supposed to say your name, you can repeat after me, but please say your own name, not mine. So all five of you,
I
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And I will faithfully and honorably comport myself. As a budget committee member for Otter Rock Water District 2021.
As a budget committee member for Otter Rock Water District 2021.
Okay. Let's see, we should have a budget committee chairperson and somebody to take minutes of this meeting. I'll entertain volunteers. That's what I was afraid of.
Okay. I'll do the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Lisa.
And we are recording it as well.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to be a summary.
Yes, summary minutes, but we might need at this moment, I can't see what the use would be, but we are supposed to have the budget committee appoint a chair of the budget committee. So the five of you can hash that out.
Well, it might be nice to have who's been in the has been there in the past to let the pressure off. But Mike, you've been a part of the community, and Stan, you've been a part of the community forever. So, would either of you be willing?
I would just assume somebody did it that was on last year, because a lot of this stuff I printed off, I'm going to be taking my time to try to figure this out.
Kenny
was on last year.
No. Do you wait until someone can't take it anymore?
Well, I suppose we could wait until we absolutely need one, and then somebody will have to step up if it's necessary. So with that, was everybody able to open the proposed budget document that I sent out this afternoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anybody who didn't receive it? Okay.
We got about a half hour ago.
Yes, I'm sorry for my slowness, but it feels like it's been a difficult birth. Okay, so let me just give the budget message, and then you can discuss whatever you'd like to discuss.
I never received it, Pat.
Who?
Me.
Jim, did I not send it to you?
I can forward it to you now, Jim, if you'd like.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is, Jim, and just in case you really want to spend your evening reading, there is a copy posted in the bulletin board outside the front door there.
Okay.
Okay. And normally, I would say this, normally in a budget meeting, I would be passing out a bunch of other backup supporting documents, but I don't know that we need those right now. If you want them, certainly, and anybody who wants to discuss this in greater detail, Stan, for instance, I'd be glad to have that discussion. So, the Water District is coming off a busy and expensive year trying to keep ahead of failing infrastructure, including many serious leaks and another one just this week, mostly due to failed saddles and valves were found and repaired. Leaks are largely due to failed nylon fittings where district lines connect to house lines. Two major valves at the tank farm on the north side of tank two, where the big tank, were replaced. A main line between spring three and tank two were excavated and replaced. Tank two was drained twice by Jim, our superintendent, and inspected by structural and civil engineers for immediate issues and for assessment of future viability. A leak between the footing and wall of the tank was mitigated. Spring one was recently vacuumed out by a donation of the equipment by the city of Newport and improved our water flow there by approximately 10%. 26 meters have been installed this year, and that's not including the Barry Brown subdivision because they paid for all of their meters and installation separately. We have no new construction or hookups anticipated at this point to add to revenues. Big thanks to Jim and Buzz, as well as resident engineer Tom Kammerer and resident geologist Eric Postakis, who have put in many hours, unspeakably many hours, verifying the problems in the district and struggling to find the best solutions for us. This board has and continues to actively pursue advice from civil, structural, and springs engineers and grant loan providers to advise the district about both existing infrastructure issues and how to plan for major upgrade replacement of our system. As boards and budget committees in recent years have been advised, there is no inexpensive way to do what must be done. In 2021, the board will be actively pursuing grants and loans, most of which require us to continue installing meters or to include the rest of the meter installations in the total project. The district also thanks Joni and Craig DeMott, Buck Boston, and Beth Elliker prior to her being on the board. And I want to thank my current board members for the hundreds of hours that have been donated to this district. The state of the 2020 budget, the 1920 budget, this year's budget, discovered last month and announced at last week's board meeting, is that revenues were overestimated. Due to being discovered with only weeks left in the budget cycle, immediate belt tightening will offset little of this. Thus, cash carryover for the next year will be lower than has been projected for the last couple of budgets. The board hopes not to have to tap the $66,974 that are in savings. So this budget is bare bones. It leaves little margin for expensive, unanticipated repairs while still addressing several known problems that need repair. Because the amount of cash carryover is in question at this time, I would like to have the budget committee entertain a motion to change the budget hearing date from June 6th to Thursday, June 25th, as far as possible at the end of the month, so as to have a better handle on our exact cash position at that time. And I would love it if you would approve that change to the budget calendar.
I have a question. We have that mandatory gap between announcing the budget and then approving the budget.
Yes.
But we can, I think this year, because of the pandemic, we can actually move that second thing into July. Is that correct?
Oh, no, I don't believe that is correct. Okay. I believe we are allowed to file the final budget reports, the LB 20 and 30, later in July than in the past. But I don't believe that we can do the budget approval after that.
How do we, if we move what you're proposing to do from the June 6th board meeting, where it normally occurs, and then we
back
2 weeks later,
be back
for final approval? How? I'm not understanding how we.
Yeah, I've got a question too. Is there also a legal matter with notifying the public? There's got to be a time within there too.
That's that 2 week interval.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And we still have the interval. The interval is preserved.
Okay.
The June 6th date to finish this up was actually pretty early as hearings go. In the past, it's almost always been around the 24th, 25th of June.
Well, that's the final hearing. That's where the budget's approved.
So
when you say budget hearing, you're referring to the point at which the board formally adopts the budget.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Then that works. I was confused by the terminology.
That's all right. All of this is very confusing.
Are there hearings before that for the public?
Yes, this meeting does not allow for public comment, excuse me. Although, and we did advertise it that way, the next meeting on the 20, oh shoot, I left my calendar in the other room. A week from Thursday, I think it is. Anyway, that meeting allows for public comment. And we can put out another notice to our public.
The budget committee approves it to pass on to the board. Is that correct, the next meeting? When do we approve the budget?
Well, you can decide to even have other meetings. I only scheduled two, but certainly if there's enough discussion, then maybe we'd need another one.
Well, I wasn't necessarily saying we need another meeting. I was just saying this meeting and the next meeting is when we approve. Is that correct? When the budget committee approves it.
Well, you don't have to at the next meeting, no. You can if you are ready.
Yeah, okay. That's how it's scheduled right now. Right. So at that one, we have public hearing, and then we can either approve it or we can continue on.
Yes. Right. Yes, you could call for another meeting if you so choose. Okay, let me wrap this up a little bit. Revenues in my proposed budget, as presented to you today, are based on, number one, actual commercial revenue during this fiscal year from 18 accounts. That includes 11 of the Shell at the Shell A's. Number two, residential revenue is based on a painstaking count, again last month, of actual customers by cross-checking QuickBooks with county maps and tax records, the superintendent's knowledge, site and site visits. We have 142 residential customers. The actual, number three is based also on the actual interest earned this year and a pledged donation for the website, and four projections from the QuickBooks system. So what I've presented here is backed up by those activities. It is gratifying to report that our customers continue to support the district with timely payments. The revenue is continuing to come in better than normal, I would say. The requirements expenditures in this proposed budget are based on, number one, hard payroll data from our payroll processor and actual cost of maintenance repair hours this year, only some of which were included in the 1920 budget. Number two, projections for costs of labor, parts, materials, excavating contractors needed for seven specific deferred maintenance projects throughout the district that Buzz and Jim put together for us. Number three, projections for labor, minimal parts and excavation contracting for installation of the existing 5 meters we have on hand. Number four, on required software upgrades in the office, our website subscription and security software for email. Number five, minimal engineering consultation to support requirements for currently needed repairs and applications for infrastructure grants and loans submitted by me as treasurer of the Water District. And that's open for discussion at this time.
I've got one question, a couple, but I'll start with one. The 142 hookups, they're each being charged each month.
Yes.
Except that's separate from commercial hookups.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that wasn't just readily available? I'm just reading your thing number two, residential, actual customers cross-checking QuickBooks. It seems like those would have just been there.
Well, they weren't.
Okay, that's all. I'm just curious.
Part of the reason for the overestimation of revenues from last year was that 167 residential customers were used in all the calculations, and that was not correct.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Hey, Pat, does that number include the 10 units at the chalets, or is the chalets considered one
commercial? I lumped the chalets in the commercials.
Okay, just curious. Thank you.
So they are primarily rentals.
Yeah,
so that seemed like logical. They could certainly be in residential if that's the preference.
No, I think it's fine how it is. I was just curious.
So, Pat, I've got a suggestion. Maybe I'm not sure what you had in mind for going through all this, but if you were to just, the four pages for the 2021 proposed budget, if you were just to kind of go down the line and just, I mean, some of them are self-explanatory, but just kind of make a little comment about each one without us saying anything, and we can make notes, and then come back and then start kind of picking at these.
If you would like to, sure. I will try to do that.
So we just have kind of a general understanding and, okay, and hold off questions until you get through.
That's just pretty much how I went through and set this up to begin with.
I have a question.
I began with QuickBooks allows us to project out a budget. So this started in April, early April, to project out what it looked like the budget was going to, what our actual expenditures and revenues were going to be for through the end of the year. That's where I started. And I can get all kinds of reports off there, as it turns out, just wonderful reports. I will tell you that, I guess one thing, some of you may not have the budget reports that were filed with the state for this fiscal year and 18 and 19. But the projected budget for this fiscal year was substantially higher in reporting revenues than any of the previous years. In 18-19, it was 102,000. In 19-20, 132,000. So you can see right there, something, I had to look and examine what was wrong with that. And that was when it was discovered that the number of residential customers had been overestimated, and that the cash carryover had been inadvertently added in as revenue.
Pat, so, at the scale, the largest component of that increase was due to the $25,000 meter fee between the various years. So that's why the ramped up as much as it did.
Well, that would have been on the expenditure side, Dale?
No, on the revenue side, because you're billing $25 more per month.
Well, but the number, yes, we were billing more additional for meters, but we were also calculating revenue based on far too many customers.
I understand that.
And so anyway.
Is there a reason why we didn't?
Pardon me?
Here? I have a question too, Pat. Is there a reason why we don't have historic data here for like what happened last year or the year before?
Well, that historic data is usually, I don't know how the budget has been presented in years past. I have no records about that.
You didn't look? Okay.
The reports that go to the state at the end of the budget process, yes, those are required to show the historic data.
I know, in fact, years ago when I did this, we had the same report that I think you give to the state was how they set it up. So we had the three previous years and then the proposed budget for this year.
Okay.
Which kind of gives you an idea of what went on in the past.
I can just give you a brief summary from this year and comparing this year and 18-19 budget years.
Actually, I looked it up on I got the information from the previous years in the budget board.
Okay.
Water board. So it is on record.
Okay.
Right. I got that too, printed it off of the website.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the only thing I will say about that is that in the last, since 1617, which is the furthest back I have right in front of me, cash carryover was added in as revenue to all of the budgets since then, that year and since. It started out with $1,000, but ballooned up to $9,000 in 1718, and then to $10,000 at the beginning of the budget process for this current year, and then jumped up to the $25,894. I don't think it's going to help us too much to mourn over what happened there. But what I can do is tell you that when I take the data off of QuickBooks, 2018-19 budget for revenue showed, these are actual numbers, 78,283. And for this year through May 11th, 92,097. So this proposed budget showing 99,585 is pretty close to those numbers for comparison.
So question for you, Pat. I printed this LB30 off yes. of the website.
Yes.
And there was also an LB20.
Yes.
So are the figures you're talking about from 16, 17, 17, 18, and so on, those are off of this or something
yes.
else?
Yes.
They are.
And you can see, if you have that in front of you, whoever has that in front of you, that very top line on the LB20, which is the revenue side, you can see that first line, those numbers should not have been added into the total at the bottom of the page on right. any of these.
Gotcha.
So,
water under the bridge.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that on commercial accounts, the average, what I did was take an average of their actual payments for the year, this current year. Based, you know, some months they had overage charges, some months they didn't. The state park has 2 meters. The Lutz property has 3 meters. Chalet has 11. Those are all actual numbers that are used to project out for next year.
So then, in other words, we have water sales for 1920 at 60,000 based on 167 times 30 times 12. So that's $30.
Wait a minute.
Do you see what I'm talking
Excuse
about?
Me. Stan, could you go back and repeat? I'm not following what you're looking at.
LB20, line 7, it's water sales.
Yes, okay.
As in parentheses, 167, which I'm assuming is the number you thought were residences, times 30, $30 additional, times 12 comes up with 60,000.
Right.
And the next one is meter installation accounts on 9-9, also right. 167. Residence, is that what that was? That what we're looking at, our residence account? Is that where that came from?
No, what I'm trying to talk to you about the commercial accounts. Yeah. I don't know where these numbers came from, where they originated. That's what I'm saying about this last year's budget document.
You said we overestimated the number of residences.
I believe, right? Yes, because we have been basing the residential customer numbers on 167 meters.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's there on the page. I'm agreeing with you there. That's 167 times 30 times 12.
Right.
That was 60,000. So that's a misleading figure, the 60,000.
Well, I believe it is.
143 or whatever, right?
142.
142. What happens with the commercial? They're not paying into this?
I don't know where the commercial were listed. If they were part of that number or not, I don't know.
But the
commercial accounts, you can't really base them on a fixed amount per month for each one because it varies all the time.
But that's not what they use. Your other resources, they're the water. I think that's the additional amount that everybody's paying so that we can get our meters in.
Yes.
Is that what those two figures are for? Water sales and meter installation account.
Okay. Say that again. I couldn't hear what the beginning of that sentence was.
The water sales and the meter installation accounts under other resources. Those are both aimed at supplying meters for us, right? That's why we have the $30 that we're paying additionally that we didn't used to pay. Well, we added $30 a couple of years ago.
We had gone up to 30 and then we added the 20.
Right. Is that what that figure is there then? Or is that just our sales? And it's based on 167. So it's a misleading figure is what we're saying, right?
I believe that it's a misleading figure. Yes.
Okay, I cannot prove
that to you because I don't have any supporting documents for these budget forms.
Well, and you've looked into it, you know, there's 142 bills going on.
Well, I looked into it because I saw too many irregularities in QuickBooks about how things were entered, and I felt that was misleading. And Joni and I have gone through a couple iterations of trying to count accounts and rentals and commercials and...
Sure.
I have to clarify something real quick. On the commercial accounts, the Lutz building has one meter, but they're being charged for three units.
Yes.
And the Alpine Chalets has one meter, but they're being charged for 10 units.
Oh, okay.
And the State Park has one.
Jim, excuse me. I was told that there were 11 at the Chalets. Is that not right?
11 units?
There might
11, be. 11, the 11 unit charges.
There are 11. Right.
I don't know if they have 10 or 11 units. I know that they had a office for an on-site manager. Now, if they're using that as a residence, then they are probably at 11 units. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're 11.
That's what they've been paying for.
Okay, but earlier you said there was 11 meters at the Chalets, and I just wanted to clarify for the record so that nobody was confused that there wasn't that many meters installed at
least. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
That's okay. I just wanted a clarification because we, at some point, these units that have multi-units are going to have to get multiple meters installed so that they're charged. Equally.
Okay. So. Yeah. I'm assuming that single meter is a legacy from the time the Alpine Chalets were a single business, like a motel.
Right, probably. And,
yeah.
That's when it was initially installed for. It was not intended to be for residential use, so that needs to be looked into as well.
Yeah. I'm interested in the semantics. We basically raised our residential rate from 30 to 50 to help finance the costs of meter installation. Are we still going to be playing that semantic game?
No.
Okay.
The resolution adopting that additional $20 does not say it is only for the use of installing meters. it is described. I don't think I have that in front of me right now. Let me check. I believe it says, Beth, are you looking this up as we speak?
Why should I be?
I think that's that 201807 ordinance. No, it's a resolution, excuse me. And it, I believe it described it as system improvements. And I'm hopeful for starting July 1st that we just call it system improvements.
Okay, I see systems repair and maintenance. Is that what we're talking about?
No, Dan's just asking a general question about the ordinance that provided the extra $20 a month.
Well, the ordinance was actually adopting the rates for the fiscal year, but you're referring to a resolution.
There is actually a resolution about that rate. Yes.
Right.
If somebody's on the website, I believe it's there.
Which number is it?
201807, I believe.
Oh, wrong one.
I've got it, but it's in the other room.
So does it mean that there is money in the budget currently for 5 meters, is that correct? But is that, I feel uncomfortable in that I think that the residents think, I thought, that the money was gonna go for meters. And if it isn't, I think we should say that openly.
Yes, I agree.
I really do.
Yeah, that's why Dan brought that up, so we could.
But also, I would also like to, I don't know from where we would pull, because we haven't gone through all of the expenses, but I feel uncomfortable about only having 5 meters installed. We'll never make our 4-year goal, will we?
I think if we could put that off as answering that question for a little bit,
okay,
we would get to a place where we can discuss that, and there's a reason why that was included as in that way.
I'll be looking forward to talking about that.
Okay. I hope I will answer that. Okay, so starting up at the top at commercial. So these numbers, the 12,477, is based on the actual revenues collected from our commercial customers for this full year, projecting the month of June. So interest is based on exactly that with the savings account, the checking account interest is minimal, but we do earn about a little over $1,000 a month on the savings account at the Treasury. There is a prospective donation to cover the website fee, which is $600 for a year for Streamline. That is not a fantasy number. And then we have the residential based on the exact number of residential customers we have and are billing. And that $99,000 total revenue is not too far off the projection I can get for the next year's budget that QuickBooks will do. Their projection was $92,700. And some of that projection is based on what numbers were put in for the budget for this current year, which was based on some mistakes, as we know. So it's a little bit lower, but close as a point of comparison.
So Pat, did you say you meant $1,000 a year from the state treasury? You said, I thought you said $1,000 a month.
No, it's, excuse me.
In interest?
Yes, it's for the year, excuse me.
Okay.
Hey. I'm a little rummy tonight.
All right.
Just checking.
So let's move down to expenses. The bank service charge, $55, is safe deposit box. That's been the charge for several years, I think. That is the actual charge. Building maintenance for the community center. Now there's a number that is somewhat of a fantasy number because that's the number that's been used in the budget in the past. We did spend $100 out of the community fund, the community center bank account this year to pay for graveling out in front of the community center, fill some of the mud holes out there. But that came from the checking account for the community center. That did not come out of the budget that the Otter Rock Water District has for some maintenance at the community center. So no funds were spent out of that amount this year. Contingencies, that is what was left at the end of my calculations. When I calculated all the other expenditures and they came out slightly lower than revenue. And so that's what that contingency number is. That can be switched around, changed, whatever. Insurance. Our current insurance policy, which we just paid for property liability coverage, was $2,727. I bumped that up just to round it off because we don't know what the new rate is going to be at this time. The workers' comp, this is an increase. Last year's charge was $585, I believe. But we have been advised that that rate is going up, and this was the best guesstimate that the insurance agent could give me for that number. Compilation down under accounting is the actual fee that we paid in July of 19 for this report that's required by the state that Grinstead does for us. We have not been advised by them that they're raising that rate, so that is the number for now. Grant and loan application fees, this number came from Lisa, who has been our liaison for searching for grants and loans, and there may be some fees. This is a projection. We don't know for sure what those costs will be. We can't know that until we cross that bridge. Under legal, this is the same amount that was included in the budget last year for legal and for legal fees. We don't have any other way to project what those costs might be. That may not be enough. We may need more legal advice when we get to applying for those grants and loans. That's an unknown, but we need to have something in the budget just in case. Now we're coming to the meters. Okay. Buzz and Jim gave me a spreadsheet with some projects that are known to be needed to be done this year before things get any worse. We already have, Jim, am I correct, five meters and most of the parts for those meters, those five,
I think we're down
on hand.
I think we're down to three now because two were installed since then. So,
oh,
I think we'll,
okay.
We can go back and look, but I think we're
okay. At any rate, this is the meter installation charges that are showing there are a projection of what it would take to install five meters then. I did not know we were down to three. That can be adjusted or it can be left like it is. When leaks are found at connections to a homeowner's system or in any other major connections in the district, if it's at a meter, then we have to install a meter there. It makes no sense to, well, we don't have to, but it doesn't make much sense to excavate and spend all the cost to locate the leak and identify it and figure out what needs to be done to fix it and not install a meter at the same time. So this number is flexible and it could, we could need more meters by virtue of fixing leaks. Am I explaining that okay, you got you meter guys? Buzz, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Office expenses, the dues and fees, that's the actual subscription for dues to subscription to SDAO. Under equipment, that is a bit of a wish list right there for some used equipment if it can be found. We have no locking storage in the office at all for checks, cash, keys, our vital documents that are in a metal storage drawer in the bottom of the closet in the office that are, the papers are rotting because they are exposed to the elements too much. Some and of these are
the public record that we're required to maintain for a very long time, correct?
Right, that too. So I have included as a hope we can try to find something, a locking fireproof file cabinet. And we have a chair situation that is probably going to require a new chair.
Could I ask a quick question? Is, do you want me to wait until the end to ask a question?
No.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
What's in the safety deposit box up at the bank charge?
Well, at the moment, during COVID close down, there's nothing in the safe deposit box because just a week before the lockdown and the bank closed, I got someone needed a document, was hoping that it would be in there. So I went down and pulled everything out and I still have everything sitting here. But as soon as we can open that back up, I will get in there and replace it. There are just a few documents. There is need for storage. Jim, what would you say? That's at least 1 cubic foot, that old file cabinet's on the floor in the closet, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's accurate?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Yes, I said, yeah, it's about 1 cubic feet.
at least one cubic foot of documents that are disintegrating in the closet there that really should be protected. I've been trying to figure out how to digitalize all that stuff so we had another record, but that's a pie in the sky too.
So maybe if we actually had something in the office there, we wouldn't need the deposit box at the bank.
Oh yeah, that's my hope, yes.
Okay.
We really should have a key locker for all the extra keys in the district and be able to lock deposits up somewhere until they get to the bank and et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, under other software, we just had to purchase the 2020 version of QuickBooks in order to have them service some questions we had. And we also, Norton expired this month also. We need to renew Office 360. I have paid out of my pocket because it required a credit card to download the new QuickBooks edition and Norton, but I am not going to ask for reimbursement until after the first of the year. So those are first of July. So those are included there. And then G Suite is some software. I'll let Beth or Dan explain that will protect our district emails. It's a subscription, and so it would be ongoing after the initial installation if the board and the budget committee decided to go that direction.
How much is it?
I'm trying to find my number on that right now.
In a regular year, it'll be around 1,000. We should be able to get a discount for the first year, however.
Wow.
And I should say that Norton expires every year, renews every year, but the QuickBooks subscription, I believe, is good for 2 years. Postage, that's a guesstimate. We keep encouraging our customers to let us bill electronically, and that's been a pretty successful campaign. But Jim does have a big report that has to go out. How's the delivery on that, Jim? That has to be delivered by mail to everybody?
Yeah, consumer confidence report. It's an annual report.
Could you speak up? I can't hear you.
So, yeah, the consumer confidence report, the annual report that we send out.
Okay, so that postage for that is included there. Printing, the only printing we have paid for this fiscal year is the notifications that went out in September, door hangers and the notifications to the rental units on water conservation. And then there's the charge for the streamline for the website that is offset by that lovely donation under revenues. Now, payroll. Payroll is based on the actual required expenditures for our employees. The hourly for the superintendent is there, and on the third line there, and then we have payroll processing fees that run about $900 a year. In addition, there are quarterly payroll taxes that the district responsibility from payroll of $7,500. So, these numbers are as close as I can come to looking at actual and projecting it out till the end of the year from this fiscal year. System repairs and maintenance. There is $2,600 there for engineering consulting, which is not much in terms of what fees we could incur it, continuing to try to find a solution that is more affordable for our infrastructure.
May I say something?
I can't hear.
May I say something?
Sure.
When Jim and I meet with the engineer Friday, that was my estimate of $600 for what he's already done and the time. We'll bring him up to date. That's an estimate. And I'll ask him what he thinks it's gonna take to put out the estimate for getting a loan for the entire project. That number he gives me would be what I would recommend putting into the budget.
Okay, well, when we know now, that.
As it stands now, there's about 26, it was about 20 hours of engineering time in that number. And I think it's gonna be more. I know it's gonna be more.
Okay, whenever we know that number, we can relay that to the budget committee. Is that satisfactory to everybody?
Yes.
Yep.
That might mean that we would then be it would then be necessary to reduce the amount in contingency and maybe some other things there that aren't absolutely critical.
Yes.
Like a file cabinet for the office. Okay. So other equipment rental, the Ellie Street repair, materials and supplies, and the springs maintenance and repairs are all part of these proposed projects that I mentioned earlier, the seven proposed projects that Jim and Buzz have identified as being on the verge of disaster if we don't get them fixed. So hopefully we can
contracts for those.
Pardon me? It
says contracted. Does that mean we have contracts for those repair items?
Oh.
Street repair. Spring maintenance.
That means that amount would be what is projected to be needed in excavating costs.
Okay, the projections, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. We already had contracts on those.
No, nothing. By contracted, I mean we have to hire somebody to do that job.
Right, okay.
That doesn't mean we have let any contracts. We have no contracts with anybody.
Okay.
That I know of, is that right?
No.
Okay.
Sure.
We have tools and miscellaneous supplies, part of about a third of this amount is for a replacement for a heavy duty weed whacker that Jim needs to be able to hack his way through the blackberries and the slough in order to get to where the leaders are when a leak develops. The rest of that is for these other projects on the repairs list. Travel for the superintendent, that's a fixed amount per month and has been for this fiscal year. I'm not sure about prior years. Utilities, those amounts are taken directly from the paid utility.
No, they call it travel, but it's been, Tom Springer did it years ago because he felt that since I was using my cell phone, my vehicle, and my, clarifying for the budget committee, and for the usage of my personal tools and items, and it's never really been for traveling, it's been for usage of my personal items, and, you know, there's no vehicles or a lot of the tools I use aren't provided, so.
If it's the wish of the board and budget committee, there's no reason why we can't change the way that's described in QuickBooks and therefore in the budget.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because there has been classes and things that I have had to attend that have been required that the district has reimbursed me for hotel stays and class fees and even my fuel receipts going back and forth from here.
So, would the budget committee like to chat and devise a new name for that? We can certainly change
that. I'd like to get through the list first and then we can come back to that.
Yeah. Whatever, however you want to do it.
That's okay with everybody.
Okay, so utilities are, that's cut and dried. Those are direct projections from our actual usage and charges every month. Water quality testing, the big one, the monthly things, those are fixed. Jim is required to do that testing and the fee is fixed for those. The big testing is also a requirement. And so there's, Jim, do you anticipate any change in the rate, the cost for that?
It just depends on what years we fall on. There's all kinds of tests that come out at different years and they cost different amounts. Right. I do believe we're getting close for an asbestos test, which is expensive. And I don't know if that's next year or the following, but I do know that we're getting close to that one.
Do you know who does that testing?
Analytical Labs out of Eugene.
Oh, it's the same lab?
Yeah, well, they contract it through another company, but they have a list of all our upcoming tests and the pricing for you. If you, all you'd have to do is call them, or any of us could call them, and they can give us a list of what it's going to cost. That doesn't include, though, our positive samples. When we have a positive, we have to do 5 repeats, and so that fee changes every time we have a positive.
Okay, I did not realize we needed to contact Analytical Labs. But I can sure do that. I can try to do that tomorrow and get a list. I know that, where is that note?
Yeah, they can give us a forecast, and they have in the past.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I will get that. Sorry. So this number might be low then for testing, is what you're telling me.
No, because last year we had a lot of big ones, so it might be pretty close actually. But I
haven't heard them. Okay, I will pledge to call them tomorrow and see what I can find out and let you all know.
Great.
Okay. So there we are. What I've presented to you is my version of the balanced budget, but you certainly can shift numbers around some of the numbers around if you wish. If you think we're not budgeting enough, then for something major, then that would require looking at rates in order to balance the budget. So, Mike, do you want to, since you had some questions, do you want to kind of mediate the budget committee questioning?
Yeah, I would think that maybe we just take it section by section, and if people have questions, go in the order instead of just kind of coming from all over the place. For instance, if anybody's got any questions on the first page of four for the income part, where it totals out to be 99585, I've got a couple questions. I'm sure maybe somebody else has too. They want to go ahead?
Sure.
Go ahead, whatever you got, Mike.
Well, I'm looking down at, when we were talking about the chalets and how there's 1 meter for 11 places, a thought came that, how do we know that's not going on with some residential sites that have 1 meter? I guess you'll find out once you get all the meters in. But for now, let's say there's 1 meter and they're supplying two of their houses. Do we know that that's a case anywhere? Or how would we know?
I have tried on several of those units. We have dug into a lot of them. The ones that we've been made aware of, we've been separating those over the last couple of years.
Okay, I was just thinking of more revenue coming in.
But every now and then, we have come across a couple of them as we've been installing meters that we found out that there was additional units.
Okay.
We do have one suspicious situation between Gladys and Nellie that we are currently looking at, but it's 1 meter and or one water service, but we suspect there might be a second one there.
Okay.
There's definitely two there.
Pardon me?
There is definitely 100% two services there.
Okay, well, we'll have to deal with that customer then.
I have a question on the chalets too. So what we're doing is we're metering them and just charging them for the amount of water they use, right? As opposed to a service for each one of the units?
No, we're charging them for the base rate times 11. So it's $5.50 a month is what they're paying. And then we are observing their usage through the meter. But there is an overage. If they go over a certain amount, then they do have to pay $4 per 1,000 gallons.
And we have do they ever go over that?
They do sometimes in the worst part of the season, yeah, in August, September. We have had to go talk to them a few times, ask them to try to help us out when they can.
And then I got one more question I'm just not clear on that first income part. Explain to me what the SFR system improvement, $34,000, how is that? What is that? How's it figured?
Single family residence base.
Right. But the system improvement, what does that mean?
That's the other $20 fee.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So we still have it separated then?
We still do, although it's your prerogative and it would be lovely. I think for QuickBooks, since we can separate it and track it, maybe we still want to do that, but we certainly don't have to show it that way in the budget.
But it doesn't change anything if we have it separate.
No.
Right.
It's just nice to see.
Basically, the system improvements includes more than just the water meters, right?
Yes.
Okay. So those should all probably be under one category when we're talking about expenses then, right?
I mean, what if we...
meters plus the improvements? Maintenance and repairs?
I just wonder if we should decide like a specific amount, like a percentage of it should go towards meters or...
Well, right now we have meters separated from that. Meters are in one section. System repair and maintenance is another section.
Okay. Well, system repair and
maintenance coming out of both those. Maybe they should be in the same section is all I'm saying.
System repair and maintenance is not the same as system improvement.
Okay.
Well, then what's SFR stand for?
Single family.
Single family rate.
Oh, okay. System improvement is after that. Okay. What?
I would like to point out one more. Could I point out one more thing about having these two amounts that we're charging separated? They can be separated in the budget for budget purposes and for analysis reasons. But my intention is July 1st that they will no longer be separated when the billings go out.
On the bill that's received.
On the bill only, yeah.
So where are they?
When the revenue comes in, we will still separate it if that's the pleasure of the board and budget committee, but we can certainly change that.
I would rather see the monthly bill be the monthly bill, if only so that people will get the idea that somehow we'll magically, once all our meters are in, we'll magically drop back to $30 a month, because I don't think the district is going to be able to do that.
No, that cannot happen. Also,
I think people thought
it is possible that even though we may not be tracking as many meters for 2021 as we have this year, one of the reasons we were able to do it this year was because the budget was overestimated. The revenue was overestimated, so more meters got plugged in to the possibility for the year.
Pat, I have a question. Now.
Can I just finish?
I thought you were through. I'm sorry.
No, I lost my train of thought.
Uh-oh.
I thought you were
through. In the event we should be so lucky as to find a grant or loan that is affordable, it's entirely possible that the rest of the meter installation would be included in that bundle.
That is typically done.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any requirement? Well, I guess I could ask Lisa in your exploration of the grants and funding that you're looking for. Is there any requirement that we have all the meters in already? That was something that came up, I think, a year ago or more, and I think that was kind of a worry that we wouldn't be able to get some monies if we didn't have all the meters in. So there was that push to get them going and get them in a very short period of time. So is that not true?
We have to show progress. We have to show that we're diligently putting them in. Everyone, all the different loan functions that we're looking at have different spreadsheets where you put in, you know, how many you have to do, how many you're going to do, and when you plan to do it, finish. As far as I know, they are willing to work with us because we've started the process, but they obviously want it finished.
Yeah.
So if we have to suck out money to fund the rest of the meters, then that's what we have to do.
Okay. I really, really wanted to know. I mean, that information, because I would hate to have us, you know, let that go or go down to a minimal number of installations and then go, oh my gosh, now how are we ever going to get revenue or, you know, get a loan or a grant or whatever.
Jim, how many in total are first installed?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dale, what'd you say?
How many meters in total have been installed? You did 26 this year. How many in prior years?
You have a total of 53, and six of those are Barry Brown. So
at a meeting, maybe the last meeting, one of the most recent meetings, the number 68 sticks in my head from being thrown out there, the number of meters. I guess that's incorrect.
I think we said 58.
Yeah.
Okay, could have been. Would it be wise then to go back and change, just thinking about down the road, if somebody that's going to give the district a lot of money says, let's see your capital improvement plan. The capital improvement plan says that by the end of June this year, if my math is correct, the goal was to have 96 installed. So you may want to change that. as a board. I don't know if you need to do that or not, but that's in the capital improvement plan that started with second half of 2018. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Well, and in the budget, all the, you know, not 100% of the money that was being set aside went towards the meters, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, the tank and a few other projects has absorbed a lot of that. Yeah. Most recently, where in the past it actually did go all towards meters. So, you know, that's unfortunately, if all the money went towards meters, we'd have a lot more done.
So sure. That's where improvements comes into play.
What's that?
That's what systems improvement comes into play. We've got the systems improvement, 34,000 base rate under budgeted resources income. You see where I'm looking at that on the income thing? I'm trying to figure out exactly where that comes under our resources. What is the 34,000? Where does it go on the other side?
No.
Is it just spread out throughout the budget?
I think it's just spread out.
Yes.
Well, it's not, well, yeah. If we really truly do spread it out through the entire expenditure side, then I think we should stop earmarking it on the income side. If we, in fact, are only using it for particular things on the expenditure side, then, you know, then I guess we can accurately.
When I looked at it, I thought we were talking that would be installation of the meters and repairs of the system. That's what I thought that
was going. But
it's going to other stuff too.
Well, I think what Jim is saying is going to meters and repairs, but whether you call that system improvement or maintenance, I guess.
Way. Right.
Yeah. It's,
well, and that's isn't that a question for the regular board to decide how they want to do that instead of the, that's not a budget committee thing, well, changing the terminology.
The only reason why I think it is because I don't know exactly where that money's going, and it's listed as a separate item.
Yeah, and that's the trouble I have with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I see that.
Because it's being used where it's needed for the infrastructure. But
and most it did go to improvements. I mean, I think maintenance would be, you know, the cost of the valves and the piping that we installed and a few of those other items would not be routine maintenance. That would actually be improvement by replacement. So
I could agree with that. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think if you look under systems repairs and maintenance, you've got engineer consulting, that's an improvement. Equipment rentals, who knows? Repairs of different areas mostly is improvement. You know, when we repair something, we're improving it. So
are we going to say then, though, that once we've spent $34,000 on those things, then that's it?
We have a problem. I think if we have leaks and problems, we're obligated to repair them immediately.
So. We are. That is the trouble I have with earmarking that on the income side.
Yeah, I see.
And somehow promising that $34,000 will only be spent on system improvements. Yeah. That we can't use it on some of the other infrastructure needs of the district.
Aren't we doing the same thing on the other side when we say we've got however much money we say we have for systems repair and maintenance? That's all the more money we could spend on systems repair and maintenance.
And unless we shift the budget, unless we're forced to.
$18,900, that's all the money we could spend on systems repairs and maintenance. What if they go over that? We've got to, do we come out of a contingency fund? And if we do, we probably need a large contingency fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're making promises on every one of these areas that's all we're going to spend.
It's a guideline. Think of these as guidelines. If the system repairs and maintenance, oh gosh, Jim, let's talk about the car that ran off Otter Crest Loop and damaged our pipe that's above ground over there. Jim, tell us how much you estimate having to replace that entire section of line would cost.
It would have been expensive. For the piers and the Calpecos and the line.
And the required engineering.
I don't know that it would require engineering it would be recommended certainly in that situation, but I don't know if you're replacing like for like how we would have had to use an engineer is the short answer to that. That would have been
and meet state requirements perhaps for seismic safety and blah, blah, blah. Do you not want to say a number?
Shouldn't our insurance cover that?
Not now.
No.
Our insurance that does cover that.
I don't, not for well, our system.
I have made that inquiry to our insurance company. What different insurance coverage would we have, and how much would that cost in order to have covered something like that? The insurance we have is strictly liability on our own property. That is an easement. It's not our own property. And the driver of that car was uninsured, underage. And so there's no insurance on that side. Normally, an insured driver would have had to cover this cost.
Right, but you can't count on that these days.
No.
So you really need to figure out a way that we can ensure that any problems like that happen, because you're right, we can't cover that in our budget.
We can't afford the insurance either.
No.
Seriously. It would be
$40,000. Your car was built in 1974, and you know, and you're also talking about pipes that they're probably are past their life expectancy, so I don't know that finding an insurance is even
So just to make clear, we're not going to have to replace that. This is a case that if we had to replace it. Is that right or am I wrong? That's
this
right.
This is a scenario.
So the only way to get the money out of the person that did it or their family is to go through the legal route.
Yes, except that it's been made very clear to us that that family is destitute and that's why the car wasn't insured.
I guess so. Okay.
But it's an example of what, if we had a catastrophe, had that pipe been more damaged than it is, and Jim and Joe Howery hadn't been able to maneuver that pipe back up to its temporary perch, back up on its piers, we could be talking about many thousands of dollars. And we would have to take we'd have to look at the savings account. We'd have to look at drastic measures because there is no room in here for catastrophes.
Yeah.
Well, if we can kind of stay focused on going page by page, me included, I think we're on page 2 now where we're talking about if anybody's got comments on insurance, legal and accounting, meter installation, that section we've kind of bounced around on. Office expenses.
Well, Michael, I was on the budget committee at the time the $20 increase was put in.
Mm-hmm.
It was articulated very clearly both in the budget committee, the board, as well as to the public, that this money was intended to fund the meters so that when and if we got funding from any grants or public money, that project was done.
I agree.
And so what I'm hearing that the conversation to be is to sort of flush that away and use those money for whatever the current need happens to be. And putting in 3 meters the entire year is going to put us woefully behind the target plan of having the meters done in 3 years. So even though I'm not a member of the current board, I would strongly recommend that there be some consensus as far as, is this direction you want to go? I.e. forgo the meter project in lieu of these other things, because that's a fundamental decision. Lisa's already talked about the fact that many of the grants appear to have an expectation of a certain number of meters in place.
Well, I agree completely, but I really feel that that's the decision not of us as a budget committee. That's a decision to be made by the board with input from us possibly. But and I agree completely. I remember those meetings too. And the way I came from those meetings was thinking that the reason it was going to be bounced up $20 was to go to meters. That's my recollection.
Mine too.
So we've veered off of that, but sometimes that happens when you have turnover in boards and it's not the same five people consistently for 5, 10, 15 years, things kind of get shuffled around. And I don't know what the solution is, and I really don't think that, that's something for their board. And
it's not just the board. I think if you listen to Jim, what he was telling us was, we had other
emergency
infrastructure expenses.
Sure. Oh, I understand. Fund,
and we, right now, our rates are not such that we can pay for those and pay for meter installation at the rate that was proposed. Mm-hmm. That whole thing was sort of set up as, everything else is going to be fine. We'll cover everything else out of $30 a month. And this $20 a month will just go to meters. And that's not how in the real world it has worked out, which is why I keep raising the question, are we going to continue to pretend that everything else is going to get funded by $30 a month and that $20 a month can be set aside for meters?
I understand, but it's
asking the question over and over and over again.
Well, if you go back 2.5 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was in November, December, maybe 2.5 years ago, when the community was faced with the fact that an engineering firm came in and said, it's going to be $3.5 million. And people like Buzz started saying, wait a minute, time out. And then we rolled into the situation with, we need to get meters in for the reason you've stated, so that if we get a grant or some kind of loan, they're going to want to have meters in. I don't think anybody was thinking that extra $20 a month was going to solve all the problems. I think what people thought was going to go specifically to meters. But I understand why it can't. And I understand that if you now go back to the community and say, we need X more amount of money, there's going to be people coming forward that are going to say, wait a minute, you told us a couple years ago that $20 is going to go towards meters. I think that's what you said.
And my question is, are we going to keep saying that?
You guys are the board.
We are all the budget committee. We are the five members of the board and the five members of the community. Yes.
Our job is to allocate a budget. Our job is not to make some kind of grand thing with all sorts of decisions that are outside of the budget committee. That's, I think, the reason we're here.
I think what Dan's saying is that we have it separated in the budget.
Right.
Take it out of the budget as a separate thing. We could do that because we're the budget committee. We can put it wherever we want.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
The board has already said that we've got a system improvement. That's what it is. It's systems improvement, not strictly meters. So we know that it's not strictly meters now. So all we have to do is you can put that into – why is it separated, is all Dan's saying. Why is it separated, and do we have to have it separated? I don't think we do. I think we can put it just into the general budget.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Isn't that what you're saying, Dan?
Yeah, I guess I'm asking us all, do we want to continue on the income side to earmark $20 a month as being committed to either meters or a broader definition of system improvement, which include meters, or do we want, you know, I mean, that's what we have done before, and I'm just raising the question, is that something that we want to continue to do? And if so, are we going to be able to follow through? And since we earmarked it coming in, actually just spend it on what it was earmarked for.
And I see.
If we're not, then why are we earmarking it? We did before. No argument. We did before. But is that something that we want to do with this next year's budget? Do we want to just have it, you know, this, you know, no change in fee, but this, you know, this is your service, your monthly service charge, and have full discretion in the budget to put it where we think it's needed the most? Or are we going to continue to earmark it as, say, for system improvements, and then use it and say, you know, we're only going to use it for system improvements. We can't use it for anything else. And if we run out of this amount, we're done with system improvements for this budget cycle.
Those Can I say something?
Yes.
Mike said the reason we started installing meters in the first place was so that we would have them in case we wanted to get a loan. Well, that's certainly true, Mike. It's not, but there's another reason, and there's a little thing that people seem to be forgetting. When we got into probably a third or maybe 30 or 40 meters installed, we started seeing a lot less water usage, a lot less leakage. I wrote the original, after we got that master plan, I wrote a review of that, and I talked extensively about meters and how we should install them to help find leaks, because it wasn't addressed in the master plan. Residential leakage wasn't addressed. And I think that's a lot of the reason or the impetus for installing meters.
I totally agree.
Well, I completely agree.
Because, you know, what we've all found is, I mean, we know this. We absolutely know this. When meters were installed from the very first five, there was a huge leak found, a huge leak. And we're all going, wow, we could find that from the meters. And it just snowballed from there. More meters went in, leaks were found. And I just worry that if we only put in five into our budget, if we only do five and they're only as something major breaks, we're missing out on a major part of the reason why they went in the first place. I think it was two things, you know, I really do. I think we were trying to find leaks to get into the infrastructure, and we were also concerned about the funding sources. I'm with you on that. But
you're right.
The other thing is, I don't know what to take out. When I look at this, I go, oh my gosh, what do we have to take out? And that's the dilemma.
I know.
May I?
In my mind, quit installing meters. We need it for the infrastructure, period.
May I enlarge upon the rate increase that was being discussed as for meters?
We don't need
resolution. This is the language of the resolution that was passed in, I believe it was late July of 2018. It says, after due consideration of public comments, the Otter Rock Budget Committee deliberated and approved the proposed budget and recommended adoption of the budget with changes, including but not limited to an increase in all residential and non-residential water rates by $20 per month. It says absolutely nothing here about meters. That I know that wasn't the discussion at the time, but that's what the resolution says.
But I think Mike's right. I think the understanding was that that was to be largely devoted. It was largely devoted to meters.
I don't think it matters, though.
No, that's right.
We don't have to put it in there. And we have solved, we have got a lot of leaks stopped already. We've stopped a bunch. We have way more water during the summer than we've had in the past. We know that. But we still have to continue to repair our lines. Therefore, you've got to make a, you've got to go back and forth on that. Do we need meters this year? Put in as many as you can. At the end of the year, maybe when you figure out how many, how much you need to put into maintenance, you know. We can't just say we're going to put in all these meters and not.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that too, Stan. I really do. I think it's a dilemma. I think it's just the dilemma. And I, as I said, even though I want to increase those from five, I would love to see more because they were so successful. But on the other hand, what happens when you have an uninsured car go into our main lines? It's like, well, okay, there you are. You know, we got to pay the bills. We have to do it. And so I don't know what things to take out. But I do, but I, you've all convinced me, I mean, sitting here, that that system improvement designation of 34,000 may not be the very best thing. That maybe that should be under just the base rate and put the, you know, 85,120 into one line. And that frees up the board and it frees everyone up to give. I just don't want it to be, I don't want us to lose it on the meters. I really don't. I don't want us to lose it on the meters.
I agree.
And one other thing about the five meters installation that is designated on whatever page that is.
We know what you're talking about.
That did not mean that we could not install more meters if funds are available. It happens to be what the stock we have on hand that we know we already own right now.
But that's what you have a budgeted for. You have a $2,900 budget for meter installation. So if you want to have more, don't you need to budget more in that particular category? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Should you decide that you would like to meld meters into system improvements, and
then you've got a lot more latitude.
While somebody was calling that system improvement and meters, it could certainly be designated that way. And then you could, on the expense side, you could move the meter cost into system improvements and maintenance.
That's basically what I'm saying. Yeah, you've got a lot more latitude that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd feel fine about that. I would.
That would be good. That would work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for both, am I understanding correctly, for both commercial and residential, we will no longer separate that amount out? We will just rename it to be only system improvements.
I thought we were just looking at a single family residence and lumping all that together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
5-1.
Improvement. Under,
So on the income side, we're saying that the rate is the rate.
The rate is the rate.
Right.
Okay. And that allows more flexibility when it comes, and then, but on the expenses side, or on the, you know, the, yeah, the expenses side, we're going to, if people want to do this, we're going to put the meter installation under system repairs and maintenance.
Correct.
Or say system repairs, meters, and maintenance or something.
Or system repairs, maintenance, and improvements.
Or improvements.
That would work, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Grace?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
I guess I don't see the problem with in expenditures having it separate. I understand in income having it all as one number, but I don't.
Are you okay with it?
We spend so much money on meters right now. And we want to be allowed to spend more than $2,900 on meters if we can afford to do that.
Okay. So you're saying if we had it in another look, if we put the numbers together, we could potentially have more money for meters.
Repairs.
Right. So Dale, what's Dale's opinion on that, doing that? What do you think, Dale?
Well, you've got a couple problems. Number one, you only have 3 meters, not 5. So if anything, this 2,900 needs to come down. As far as where you categorize it, it really doesn't make a difference.
Right.
For, is there any reason that we want to track it on the accounting system separately?
Well, absolutely. You should track it there. But for this report, you know, going to the state, I don't think you need to differentiate it to that level of granularity.
Yeah.
Right.
But it would still be listed underneath systems repair, maintenance, and improvements. All of that would still go underneath there, wouldn't it?
You'd sure. still have, yeah, meter installation under that.
Meter installation.
You could call that whole category, you could just call it infrastructure expense.
And then have it delineated, yeah.
Yeah, and then just have your subcategories that you've already got here. And just fold in that meter installation as another category underneath infrastructure expense or system repairs, maintenance, and improvement, or, you know, I don't care what you call it.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, it's all the same flavor of expense. You're spending it on valves and pipes and meters and the repair of such stuff. That makes sense?
Well, that makes sense. So I think we're agreed on doing that.
Okay.
Making that change, are we?
Is Kenny, are you still on?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
Okay. And, you know, in terms of the 2960, even though those numbers were outlined based on 5, I don't think that the number there isn't any rule that says, hope there's no rule that says it has to change now that we only have 3. But are you saying, Dale, you know, those numbers are inflated because we assume that money, or that we don't have parts, or no, we assume we do have parts that we don't have, so we actually increase those numbers to have 5. Yes. That's what you're saying. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably really true.
Mm-hmm.
So is it your wish, the budget committee wish, to take the $2,960 and move it down to infrastructure, repairs, maintenance, or do you want it recalculated, the 2960 recalculated as if it were 3 meters, and then move down, which would then, whatever the difference is, would go possibly into contingencies?
Oh, I'm scared to do that. You know why? I mean, I'm just afraid to take any, I understand where those numbers came from, but I'm nervous about taking any more money out of that. I mean, that says that's what it costs for 5. It actually costs more for 5,
mm-hmm.
You know?
And if Jim in doing repairs around the district ends up having to put in 10 meters, we're going to have to put in 10 meters.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay though. I'm okay with that. Then we have to do what we have to do. But then also, okay.
So I just want to be clear. 2960 is going to move down to the bottom of the page there. And everybody's in agreement on that.
Yep.
It'll still be listed the same way. It's just going to, the list is going to move down under systems repair and maintenance, correct?
You want to show a line item that says 2960 meters?
Yeah.
I thought we'd leave the label. Yeah, I sort of like having it show what the meter installation is. I just thought we were moving that section down under the other.
All I need is for you to tell me what you want me to do, and I will do it.
Let's just move that line down in there. That's what I think. I think you're right. Exactly. For now.
So move all four meter installation with the four sections saying labor, materials and supplies, shipping.
Okay.
All right.
So we still see what we're doing. It's just category, that whole category moves. You're not just taking the final number of 2960 and moving it, right?
What Stan?
My question is, what do we have exact? What are the materials and supplies? Are those the meters that we have left? The $700? You know, I don't even know what those figures actually apply to.
Well, actually, the meters we have, we've already paid for.
Right, yes. Exactly. So what's the other $700?
I think we could have some more meters than the three sitting in the closet.
How much do meters cost? I don't even know.
Jim, he's got a leak and he's in the process of fixing the leak. He's got a, he goes ahead and installs the meter because he's got a hole. That's a lot of what those 5 meters were for. Well, when he gets in there, he may need other materials than what is specifically inside the meter box, something to, I don't know, repair the saddle on the line. You never know. It's just $750 for, you don't know. It's just a contingency.
It's an estimate, right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's fine with me. I don't see any problem with putting all those down underneath.
Yeah. So we have an agreement on that part, right? I think we're all good on that.
Okay.
Okay, so moving right along. We're still on page 2. Anything else on page 2? Office supplies, questions about dues and subscription software. Okay.
I think it's fine on that page.
Okay, page 3. Payroll expenses, comments?
We're on
page 3.
The rest of maintenance and repairs, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, where's last year's?
Now, the travel thing, I think, is what we were talking about, too. Just renaming that. Now, Jim, I wasn't sure about this. So this is expenses for your vehicle and tools that you use, plus any meetings you have to go to?
No.
Is that included in there, or is that meeting some other way that we got to pull out of the budget?
Yeah, Tom Springer did that a long time ago because I had asked initially when I got hired if there was any vehicle reimbursement or mileage, and Tom said, you know, his view on it was that I shouldn't pay taxes on using my own vehicle to haul tools around and using my own cell phone and paying my own insurance on that vehicle. And then I also provide a lot of my own hand tools like vices and wrenches and things of those nature. So he felt that $300 was a fair number that they would pay me for me using my own vehicle here in town. But there has been on occasions for my license requirements that I've had to stay in other places of the state for classes that are required, you know, for my license. And in the past, the board has reimbursed me for mileage and hotel fees or whatever I have to do for my...
Basically, the board approves that expense. You know, we just vote.
Where do we have that expense listed? Or do we?
It doesn't look like it's listed.
No, I think that expense is a contingency expense.
It comes out of contingency? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
What expense is contingency?
Jim, if
we beyond the $3,600 or $300 a month, beyond that.
So in the past, if Jim had a trade or something like that, then the board has approved that, and I believe it has come out of the contingency fund.
Okay.
And generally, my classes that I'm required to take, they rotate them around the state. And luckily enough, over the last year and a half, they've been in the Tillamook coastal area. But 3 years ago, a lot of them were in Eastern Oregon and Portland, and now they're starting to do them in Southern Oregon. So they kind of move them around so that everybody gets it close to home once in a while. So
it's almost 4,000 in a contingency fund. Is that going to be enough to cover that?
For just that?
We've got 4,000 in a contingency fund that we would take out in order to reimburse you.
Do you have an estimation on how much, and do you have any idea what a year might look like?
This coming year in particular?
Yeah. I'm sorry, you were breaking up. Are you asking me about how much it might cost for me to do that this year?
Yeah, if you have any idea, do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's not going to break. It'll be under $500. Okay. I mean, it's generally pretty minimal, and I only got to do it a couple of, you know, two or three days.
Got you covered, then.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to pull us back to, we kind of jumped ahead to page 4. That's where that travel is. If we can go back to page 3 for just a second.
Oh, that's my page 3.
What's that?
That is page 3.
That is my page 3.
I have 3 pages, too.
Okay, well, see, I've got 4. I don't know where these came from. So it's right here. Page 4.
Too many copies.
I don't even have a page 4.
I don't know.
I've got 3 out of 6.
I don't know. Well, anyway.
Did you make your
last 3 were blanks?
Bigger.
Okay. But it would be nice if you guys could allocate it under, or at least change the name under it, because it is kind of misleading.
Travel, you mean? Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Can we come up with a different definition for that section there?
Yeah, we'll try to figure out.
Or David me.
How about tools? It's a reimbursement. Yeah. Is a reimbursement a negative word to put on a budget? I guess it might be.
Would personal items usage or?
Or miscellaneous, I don't know.
How about travel, or instead of travel, you could put vehicle use reimbursement, licensing needs,
and business, because I want to get the cell phone usage and the tools and all that, so it's almost like a business.
Out-of-pocket and vehicle expenses.
Out-of-pocket and vehicle expenses.
Out-of-pocket, vehicle, and phone expenses, something like that.
Dale, what would you suggest?
He's can't hear you.
I'm there.
Oh, his sound, there we go. Now you can hear.
Any of them are fine. Again, we're getting into the weeds where it's just for the financial reporting. It's not for the budget to the state.
Right.
Well, how about if we just say out-of-pocket expenses? Or, you know, what is it called when you have...
Well, actually, Jim gets reimbursed for other out-of-the-pocket expenses.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want travel on there, was because if you guys pay for my travel, I don't want people thinking I'm getting paid twice. Or
yeah, what do you call that when you take the value off something that you use, like on your house and your car?
Vehicle depreciation.
Depreciation.
That's the word I was trying to think of.
Well, maybe, how about between now and the next meeting we think about it? And, you know, you guys can come up with something that...
Cell phone and vehicle usage.
I mean, if it's the same amount every month, why doesn't it just go on your annual, the amount of money you earn?
Because Tom, at the time when Tom had came up with that, he didn't feel it was fair for me to pay taxes on your...
Oh, okay.
Vehicle.
Not only would Jim pay taxes on additional payroll expense, but the district does also.
Oh.
I get it. Okay.
I'd rather.
Okay, we got that one.
All right.
We got the wording right on this. I've got a couple backing up a little bit on payroll expenses. I've got a couple questions. First of all, where it says projects hourly superintendent. And I didn't see that item listed last year. Is that a new, or maybe I'm just not reading the last one correctly?
It actually wasn't listed in last year's budget and was part of the reason for the budget being incorrect last year.
You cut out on me for just a second. It was part of what last year?
Okay, it was not listed as an expense in the budget last year. It should have been. Another reason for the budget being so out of whack this year.
And so what is that cover?
Jim's Jim's salary contract or salary agreement is that he will perform certain duties for the district.
Gotcha.
There are other duties he has to perform that don't fall into that agreement. And that's what the hourly rate is.
Gotcha. So it may not be 10,800, but that'll cover it. Is that it?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
For instance, the 8.5 or 9 hours he spent down there the day the car crashed over.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure what it was because I didn't see it previously listed. Okay. And now I understand why. And then the other one, the office manager has gone from 66 to 7,200, right?
Is that
correct? Okay. Okay. Now I'm on my page 4. I know everybody else is 3. Okay, so total utilities, the reason it's gone up from $2,500 this current year to $3,482. And I'm going through these and the terminology in the two different forms I'm looking at is different, so it's not lining up. So
What is the second form you're looking at? Are you looking at that LB30?
I've got the LB30 and the LB20.
Okay, the LB30 is the expenditure side.
Right.
And utilities.
I'm sure it makes sense. I just noticed the difference of
$2,500.
Close to $1,000. Because I tried to cross-reference it, and
I have
a lot of the numbers.
No idea what was included in that $2,500 for last year. All I know, what I can say is that these numbers are based on what we are actually spending.
Okay, gotcha.
And Michael, that was an endemic problem we've had several years on establishing the budgets. Is that we didn't have actuals to base on.
Okay.
So they were majority of the LB30 and 20 were guesstimates because they could not produce actuals for us.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of my questions, I think. Anybody else?
Nope.
So, Pat, what do we do? Where do we go? Do we meet again to kind of regroup? Do we work more on it now? Or I'm not sure what our next step is.
Well, that's really up to you. You may ask me questions and ask for more information. If I can provide it, I will. If anybody wants to come down and look at item by item through the QuickBooks accounts, that can happen. Whatever is your pleasure. If you're happy with this budget as proposed, well, we have a couple things we'll need to adjust. The analytical lab projections for testing that might be required, that could be a major cost.
I would.
We could decide to meet very briefly a week from, what date is that? Oh, I didn't bring my calendar in. But, oh, help me, somebody.
It was the 27th, I think. Or
I think I was going to say the 26th, but I'm trying
26th. To right now.
Anyway, you could agree to meet briefly again that night.
I think we could.
You finalize, you have a definition you want to work on. I would reprint this with the changes you've already directed. And
well, you know, also I wanted to say too that if you come into a bind, I'd like to know what other people think of this, but if you come into a bind where the testing ends up to be larger than the 3201, you know, I put stars by the bank deposit box, the building maintenance amount in the community center, and the contingency amount, and maybe, you know, what do you all think about having, you know, being able to be flexible in those areas? Because the rest of them, the rest of the things, other than, you know, postage, and I just didn't see any wiggle room, you know, if they're based on less, you know, what I didn't see any wiggle room. So, but except right there. So, you know, maybe if things have to change, they could change in there.
It's not a bad idea to have a little in contingency. It doesn't mean you can't use it.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, there is that community center fund that I noticed that you guys used a little bit of that to do the parking lot. You know, that was generated with, you know, we had activities and we had all kinds of things where people donated money and they did that. And, you know, whatever happens to the community center, maybe it would be okay if some of those, I mean, there must be like, I don't know, what, $300 left or something? No.
No, that $500, there's $366 in the actual checking account that comes from those fundraisers.
And
this
so
is a separate $500.
Oh, okay. So
this is for maintenance of the building, which we use as our office.
Oh, I understand. So
we have to fix the toilet.
Okay, so it's more of a business expense.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Question.
But I yes.
We've been talking about a savings account we have.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be listed on the budget at all, or is that something that's separate of the budget?
No, it's separate from the budget. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean it can't be used if the board goes through the process to use that.
Okay. But as far as the budget committee members, we don't need to know about it.
Well, did I not tell you there's 66,000?
Yeah, yes.
Almost 7.
Yeah, I'm just saying we don't need to know about it because it's not part of the budget.
Almost $67,000.
Right.
I didn't know whether it should be included on the budget list or not. I know it's not supposed to be now. So that's good.
You're right. It is an asset that the district has.
Right, but it doesn't have to be on the budget sheet.
No. It is being accounted for in QuickBooks. It is an asset.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I was just wondering if it was supposed to be part of the budget. We're fine.
Well,
not unless the board appropriated it for that reason.
Okay, good.
I would suggest, since I think we covered a lot of ground tonight, that maybe we meet one more time. Give everybody a chance to kind of digest this and think of other things they want to bring up. And then that would be next week. And then from there, it's waiting till what, the 25th of June to make the final. Is that it? Is that how it goes?
In past years, the budget committee has presented the budget to the board at the June board meeting in early June.
And right.
Then we have waited the required, what is it, 14 or 15 days between the time that we say, yea, verily, this shall be the budget, until the time it's actually adopted. I think there's a required...
It's 15 to 30 days, but 15. that's a notification. That isn't a waiting period.
Right, yeah. Well, it's... Explain it to me again. Isn't there a wait... The 15 days is between notification of the budget and adoption? Is that what the 15 days is?
No, it's just the 15 to 30 days is the time period you have to notify the public about the budget hearing where the budget is finally adopted.
It's adopted, okay. All right. But we would want to have a document for the public to view as part of at the beginning of the notification period?
There was a requirement that as soon as the budget committee is given this budget, it had to be posted. So it is posted at the community center, the draft.
But that's the draft budget.
The draft, right.
Proposed budget. Okay. And so now the notification, but we're going to modify it.
Yes.
Right. And is there, once we settle on what the budget's going to actually be, then there needs to be at least 15 days between that time and the time that's adopted? I'm trying to understand what that...
Yeah, I thought there was a timeline.
Well, there is a timeline, but that's for notifying the public of the budget hearing.
So...
We do have to have one more budget meeting because we have to have a budget meeting at which the public is allowed to speak.
That's okay. The hearing, right?
Okay.
No.
And that's what we tacked on to the June board meeting, as I recall.
Oh yeah.
We met. There was a period just before the June board meeting that was called the budget meeting. And in some past years, some members of the community would get rounded up to be on the budget committee, and we would show up at that and be shown the budget at that time. It was not an organized process. It was not a proper process like we're having. Okay. So I think I understand now that basically we can have that second budget meeting whenever we want.
Yes.
As long as there's enough time between that and the actual adoption of the budget, which we're proposing toward the end of June. No?
No.
Pat's shaking her head.
No.
Is there a specific date we have to have the budget completed?
The budget hearing has to be an adoption of the budget. The meeting itself is called the budget hearing. And that's the meeting at which you approve the budget, and the board has to approve the budget at that meeting. It has to be before June 30th.
Oh, okay. It has to be before June 30th. Right.
Okay.
And I had scheduled it earlier, trying to think of it, okay, let's get it done at a board meeting. But I think because I would like to know more about what our final cash carryover is going to be before.
Right.
That budget hearing.
Okay.
And then, okay, so that's the meeting that notification goes in the local newspaper? Or that's, I just remember that in the past, you had to notify through the press. And is that still the way it does?
We had to notify for this first meeting where the budget message was
presented. Oh, okay.
We had to actually put that notice in the paper.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So it was in the Newport News Times.
Okay.
But the real notice went out by email.
Email, yeah.
Okay.
So when are we meeting? When should we meet again? I mean, we have to meet one more time.
So we're scheduled for the 26th, so a week from tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that work for everybody?
You know where the 26th and 27th is? I was just wondering which ones were May and which ones were June.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are smooth.
Yeah.
So it's next week. Let's call it next week.
Next
May.
Tuesday, the 26th of May.
26th 6 o'clock.
Of May, 6 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we're good, are we?
Yeah, I need time to
think about it. Okay. I'm lost.
No,
I got it now. I've got it now. Okay. So I'll put out a notice that we're having our second budget committee meeting.
And that one is called the second budget committee meeting. And public comment will be taken at that time.
Oh, okay. Good. Go
ahead.
Okay.
I was going to say thanks to Pat for doing all this.
Thank you, Pat.
Stuff here.
Yes, Pat. Thank you.
You did improve it over prior years.
Yes. And having real numbers.
Amen.
And actual.
Actual.
Pulled out of the air. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really something.
It's a huge relief to be able to say, I know those are right.
Good job. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, anyway, nice job.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next
week.
We're out of here.
Nice. So nice to see you.
All right, not everybody, take care.
Kenny, we can't see you, Kenny.
I know.
It's a good thing.
I'm signing off then.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, good night,
thank
everybody.
You. Thank you.
Good night.